Good morning, church family. It is good to be with all of you this morning. What a wonderful thing it is that we can come here to worship our great and mighty King, to rest in His presence. The fact that He welcomes us into His presence, it is a blessing in itself that we can be here to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. At this moment, I'm going to ask all the children, 5 years old to fifth grade, to go to your ministry, and may the Lord bless you as you receive His word today. For those who are watching online, thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you abundantly. As we continue to worship the Lord, that word in that song, "There is no one like You," continues to minister to my life, because it is true. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like Jesus. He has invited you into an intimate and close relationship with Him so that we can enjoy Him now and forever. What a great blessing that is to know Jesus, and that He alone is worthy to be praised. 2 Sundays ago, Pastor Steve reminded us that Jesus Christ destroyed the devil, that He set us free from the fear of death, that He made atonement for our sins, and He helps us when we are tempted. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is truly the giver of some really good gifts. I don't know about you, but as we have explored the book of Hebrews, I have gained a deeper understanding of the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's truly amazing, and there is no one like Jesus. No angel, no devil, not even death itself can stop Jesus from demonstrating and revealing to all humanity how great and awesome He is. Think about it. Only a living, active, strong, and great God will choose to become like one of us, so that in our finite and limitless form, He can display to all humanity His unlimited power, glory, and majesty. You and I are truly blessed to have the opportunity to know Him and call Him our Lord and Savior. And now that we're going to read His word and continue to exalt and magnify the name of Jesus, we want to do it with open hearts. We want to hear His word and respond to Him accordingly. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews Chapter 3, 1 to 6. We're going to read those verses today. But before I do that, I want to praise the Lord that we get to open His word and enjoy it as He speaks life to us through these verses. Heavenly Father, it is our greatest privilege to be in Your presence. The fact that You allow us to come to You, that You allow us, Lord, to be drawn to Your beauty, Your majesty, and Your greatness, and still live, is a blessing. And so we thank You, Lord, that we get to do that this morning, as we have sang and prayed. Now we get to enjoy You through Your word. And we pray that You bless us as we hear Your word, that You would open our minds and our hearts to Your word, and that Your Holy Spirit will minister to us in the ways that only You can, Lord Jesus. So use Your word for Your glory, honor, and praise, and for our edification, we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us read Hebrews 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Have you considered Jesus lately? The word consider in this passage communicates the idea of meditation. Just last week, we were reminded of how much Jesus truly loves us. Jesus Christ suffered it all. He gave it all, including being completely separated from the closeness he had with his Heavenly Father for you and I. He even took upon himself the guilt, shame, and punishment for our iniquities because he loves us. As one commentary puts it, Jesus Christ is the heart of Christianity, which means his person and work are the best objects for Christian meditation. Jesus Christ is the heart of Christianity, and we must consider Jesus as we live in this life. Why we must consider Jesus? He is also the apostle of all apostles. No apostle in Scripture or apostle now can be compared to the greatness of the chief apostle. We rarely use the term apostle to refer to Christ. This is because we normally don't think about the meaning of the term. Apostle simply means sent one. You see, the 12 apostles were specifically commissioned by Jesus Christ and sent out on his behalf. In the same way, Christ is the apostle of the Father, the one sent from heaven to earth with a specific message and mission to accomplish. In some parts of the world, the word apostle is a term people are very familiar with. When people hear such and such apostle is coming to their area, people from all over the region will be drawn to that gathering because an apostle is going to be there. Our Creator placed in us a profound desire to know him. After the fall, however, this desire was corrupted, but is still in us. That is why people often create a God in their own image to satisfy that desire he placed in us from the beginning. In the same way, God also placed a desire in us to follow him, the only true and real God. But because this desire was corrupted by sin as well, we are easily drawn to people with a status. Whether they're popular, famous, powerful, we want to learn from them. We are easily drawn to people with a status. That reminds me of a post I got to share last August, a post that contained God's word and a call to consider Jesus as Lord and Savior. Within 24 hours, that post went viral. And people began commenting how they want to place their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. People began to sending me private messages, asking me questions about this and that, like I know all things. I don't know. I'm just learning. And within a week, I was receiving up to like 1,000 friend requests. Like I'm a popular guy on Facebook, but I'm not. This is the only and first time a post of mine went viral. But the important thing about this is that the message of God was communicated, and people were responding and considering Jesus as Lord and Savior. Only He knows how many people actually consider Jesus. There were more than 500,000 shares on this post. And as I was, you know, going through that, I remember how easily it is for me to be drawn to that attention, to think that somebody else is thinking of me, considering me and what I wrote. But it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and Him alone, who is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. So we must be careful that we are allowing others to be drawn to us instead of being drawn to Jesus. We point people to Him alone, not to our success, not to how efficient we are, sophisticated we are, smart we are, or knowledgeable we are. It's all about Christ. He is the chief apostle, because He's the only one who is capable of leading and guiding His body. Jesus is the one who is calling people to Himself around the world and empowering His sent ones to faithful and fruitful ministry in every nation. Through us, Jesus Christ is making and multiplying disciples that will follow Him authentically and wholeheartedly. Through us, Jesus Christ is building His church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the chief apostle. Have you considered Jesus lately? He is also the highest of all priests. No priest in the Old Testament or priest now can be compared to the holiness, purity, and righteousness of our high priest. We no longer need a priest to absolve us from our sin. We no longer need a priest to sacrifice an animal on our behalf to be pardoned for our iniquities, when we have Jesus, our high priest, who hears our confessions and forgives our sins. Jesus Christ literally entered the grave on our behalf, willingly, so that you and I can enter the throne room of grace at any time of the day and any day of the week. Our high priest has given us full access to His presence, and He is here with us. What a blessing that we get to worship the Almighty God, the one who knows you, the one who has paid for our sins, the one who loves you. Even though when we were still in sin, He died for you and me. And even now, when we're still struggling with things, He calls you His son and His daughter. He loves us so much, and He is not done with you and I. Whether you know Jesus or not, I hope that you are considering who and what you have obtained in Jesus, the chief apostle and high priest. Let us shift our attention to one of the greatest hero figures that has ever lived. You know the name? Can anybody tell me? There you go. Moses, you've been following through. Thank you. Moses, or Moisés. En español. Say it with me, Moisés. Now you can say that you have learned something new today. It is impossible to think about the Old Covenant without considering Moses. Moses spent his first 40 years of life as a prince in Egypt. He had it all: comfort, security, a prestigious status, and all money can buy, until one day he had to flee for his life after taking someone else's life. He spent about 40 years of his life as a shepherd in Midian. He was a nobody, an outcast, a fugitive hiding in the desert and taking care of sheep. One day, as he was caring for the sheep, he had a personal and close encounter with the living God. He was 80 years old at this time when God called him to go back to Egypt and led his people out of slavery into the promised land. He was so confused. Why would I want to go back to the place that I ran from? But God wanted to use him. And as we study his life, we don't want to miss this valuable teaching that we can learn from Moses. God will often use our desert-like experiences to purify and humble us if we let him. And in our shame, guilt, and darkness, he calls us to come into his marvelous light to be healed, restored, and empowered for all that he has in store for us if we accept his invitation. Once God liberated Moses from the guilt and shame of his past, God used him to liberate his people from slavery. Through Moses, God demonstrated his greatness, power, and his wonders to all the people in Egypt through the 10 plagues, as you can see in the picture. And I don't want you to guess which one it is, but you can see there. Or perhaps you can ask your son or daughter. They know about these things because they learn in our children's ministry. One plague after the other, God was clearly communicating his intentions to Pharaoh and who he wanted to use to lead his people out of bondage. Ultimately, God's showdown of his greatness and his infinite power will culminate in one of the greatest miracles, in my opinion, ever recorded in the Old Testament: the parting of the Red Sea performed by his faithful servant Moses. Once freed from slavery, God's people were losing hope in the wilderness and found themselves in desperate need of guidance. In their moment of desperation and hopelessness, God used Moses once again to deliver the law to his people. The rest is recorded in Scripture. I invite you to read through those stories of how God used Moses. And although Moses was greatly used by God, Moses was a man. Jesus, on the other hand, is God in the flesh. Moses was called of God, while Christ was sent by God. Moses was a servant. Christ is the Son. Moses was faithful to God. Jesus Christ is the faithful one. Moses was a prophet of law, while Christ is the apostle of grace. Moses was a sinner judged for his sins. Sinless Jesus was judged for the sins of his people. Moses ministered to an early people whose calling and promises were primarily earthly. Christ is the apostle and high priest of a heavenly people who are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Moses performed many signs and wonders on God's behalf. Jesus is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the light in the darkness. Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage from Egypt, but failed to lead them into the promised land. Christ leads his people out of bondage from sin and takes them all the way into paradise. The old covenant is essentially the legacy of Moses' ministry to the people of God. The new covenant is the culmination of God's profound love for his creation in the person of his begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. If Moses is worthy of honor as a servant, how much more worthy is Christ, the one who built the house? House in this passage means the household of God, not the temple or the tabernacle described in the Old Testament. You see, Moses served in the house, while Christ is the Lord over the house. Moses was a servant in Israel, God's Old Testament household. Christ is a son over God's household, which today is the church. As clearly communicated in verse 4 through 6, the author of Hebrews wanted everyone to know, whether Jew or Gentile, free or slave, that Jesus Christ is greater than one of the most revered men of their time, and that Jesus is the great architect. Jesus is the great architect. God's ability to create, design, and perform wonders has had some people scratching their heads throughout human history. Others have been fascinated by his unique ingenuity, and for us who believe in him, we are amazed by his great power, captivated by his unique way of showing love, and in awe of his beauty and majesty. We cannot miss the fact that Jesus is indeed the greatest architect revealed to mankind. As we know, Ben Powell did a fantastic job designing and making sure that this church is fully renovated. But not even him, in all his skills and talents, can be compared to Jesus, the great architect and designer of all things. He is the creator of all things. He designed everything so beautifully and powerfully. And because we are precious living stones in his mighty hands, we cannot ignore the fact that if we don't allow Jesus, the great architect, to build our lives in him, it will be impossible to have a healthy and Christ-exalting life if he's not directing our steps. It will be very challenging to have a healthy and Christ-honoring marriage if he is not our foundation. As we were singing in that song, without Christ abiding in us as members of our congregation here, it will be really hard to build a Christ-centered and Spirit-led community of believers who seek to bring God glory, honor, and praise in all that we do. Dear brothers and sisters, we cannot build alone. We need Jesus, the great architect, to sustain us and affirm us as we go through the ups and downs of life. If this morning you find yourself defeated or discouraged, consider Jesus, the one who knows you from the inside out. He created you in your mother's womb. He knows you completely and loves you profoundly. Let him continue to work in your life. And like you, I can relate to those times where I have felt defeated and discouraged. Just yesterday, in fact, I felt a little defeated and discouraged. But I consider Jesus. I consider Jesus, the one who knows me and understands me, the one who loves me unconditionally and calls me his son. And yes, he needs to do a lot of work in me, and perhaps he needs to do a lot of work in you as well. But you see, as we consider Jesus in these moments of our life, we will realize that little by little, his loving presence will begin to touch our heart, and we will receive the peace, the joy, and the strength that we need to keep on going. When we consider Jesus, things begin to change. Things begin to change. And perhaps you find yourself struggling in your marriage today. We cannot lose hope and confidence in the one who is building a masterpiece for his glory with our marriages. He who called each member of our families is faithful. He will surely do whatever he needs to do to bring his liberating, refreshing, and transformative presence to each member of our families who are in need of his loving touch. Trust Jesus in the process and don't give up. Don't give up. Remember that he is working alongside of you for the good and the well-being of your family. Build with Jesus and not against him. Recognize your sins. We must recognize our sins in those moments when we're failing, when we're struggling, when we want our flesh to do its thing. We need to recognize our sins, and we need to repent of our sins and run back to Jesus again and again for him to continue to mold you and me into his likeness. As another commentary explains, holy unbelievers do not exist. Holy unbelievers do not exist. It is impossible to share in God's heavenly calling while remaining unrepented. To be a part of Christ's church requires repentance and faith in Christ our Lord. It means that the blood of Christ has cleansed you and that you are now destined for a heavenly glory according to God's infallible purpose. Dear brothers and sisters, let us always, always consider Jesus, the chief apostle, the high priest, and the greatest architect known to mankind. Like Moses, be a faithful servant in prosperity and in peaceful times, but also be faithful in times of adversity, trials, and hardships. Let Jesus build your life and use your life so that his greatness can be known to others. The Great Commission is too big for me to do alone. It is too big for you as well to do alone. And it is too important for us not to try to do it together. We've never fully found Jesus unless we tell others about him. Think of our Muslim friends who come to our ESL classes. How can we help them consider Jesus? Think of your coworker, neighbor, friend, or family member who needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. How can you help him or her consider Jesus? Think of people in our community who are struggling financially, physically, or emotionally. How can we help members of our community consider Jesus? Let us live our whole lives always considering Jesus, the chief apostle, the high priest, and the greatest architect known to mankind. I'm going to call Hannah. We're going to have a time where we can reflect on what we just heard. I realize that for some reason the timing is, you guys probably going to leave home early today, which is a good thing. But we're going to take a time to consider Jesus, the chief apostle, our high priest, and the greatest architect known to mankind. Perhaps this morning you need direction in your life. You find yourself confused. You find yourself in need of wisdom. Let us cry out to Jesus, the chief apostle, for him to bring clarity and direction into the area that you need direction and wisdom. He is the one who can help us when we are confused and discouraged. Maybe you find yourself feeling dirty, ashamed, carrying a heavy load, feeling guilty for your sin. He's our high priest. We can come to Jesus, the one who paid it all, the one who is willing to come to you, a sinner, and speak life and encouragement. Maybe you are broken, hurting, you are wounded. Your current trial is just too much to carry. Jesus Christ is the one who desires to build your life. He's the one who wants to put you back together, who wants to heal your wounds and bring the healing and the restoration and transformation that you need. Whatever struggle, burden you may be carrying today, let us call to Jesus, the one who hears us, the one who loves us, the one who is here present. Let us come to the throne room of grace, repented, in need of him, because we have considered Jesus the great one. So in this time of silence, let us process the things that he's speaking to you. Let us hear his invitation to come to him, to come to him who gives us life, who knows us and understands us, and who wants to build our life so that we can be more like Jesus Christ our Lord. And as you consider Jesus, let him speak to you. Let him hold you tight. He loves you and he cares for you. So let us take this time of silence and consider that word too, that when we come to him with our brokenness and our need, he is there to sustain us. He draws to ourselves because we are broken and in need. Let the Lord minister to you. Pastor Duane is going to come later and he's going to close us with a word of prayer. But this time right now, let us just consider Jesus.